to be working. Okay, good morning. Welcome to worship. For those of you who are here with us, we're so glad you could make it. For those of you who are watching at home, God bless you there. And as we prepare to worship this morning, we're in the middle of the season of Advent, and we begin every service with the Lord's Prayer. So let's say that together at this time. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we're also lighting the Advent wreath this season. And so you see that three candles are lit today. The theme for this service is joy. And so I'll be the reader today, and then we'll all say the parts that are labeled all. But let's do this responsive reading at this time. We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We're preparing for the full coming of Christ. We are ready for Christ to come and make all things new. The third candle is a symbol of joy. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like people who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping will return with songs of joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. For the Lord is near. We are preparing for the joy of the Lord to be made complete in us. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We are ready for you to come and make all things new. This time we'll sing a slightly different version of Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is.
If you're thankful for God's unspeakable joy, say amen this morning. I'm so thankful for the day that it overwhelmed my soul for the very first time, and it continues to do so today. All right, at this time, we want to go to our time of prayer. And in a typical season, we would have passed the offering plates at this time, but just to remind you, there are plates to give as you go today. And if you're watching online, however you're watching, there should be a Give Today button or instructions there on the screen how you can go and give electronically. Please continue to give faithfully during this season, and we're grateful to those of you who have done so and helped us to thrive during this time. So as we go to prayer, we want to pray for our nation and our world in the struggle against the virus that continues. But thanks be to God for vaccines that are being shipped even now, that hopefully soon will begin to help those who are most vulnerable. And we want to pray for the healthcare workers and others on the front lines who now may have this additional responsibility of helping to distribute the vaccines. We also want to pray for those who are sick and need the Lord's touch or may have procedures. Actually, this morning, our own Helen Wormsbecker is having an MRI on her shoulder, so we pray that that goes well. And hopefully nothing too serious is going on there. But as we pray this morning, we also want to pray for all of us to be growing in grace, to be growing spiritually, to be shining our lights in this season of outreach to others. And just may the gospel continue to move forward in our lives in this time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just pause before you this morning because we are in awe of the great things that you've done for us. And Lord, where would we be without Jesus, who came into the world at one of its darkest hours and began shining the light that would overwhelm and overcome the darkness? And eventually that light shined on us. And it changed the course of our lives, and it changed the trajectory of our eternity, and gave us a reason and a hope to live into. And it gave us a sense of peace in our lives that we could share with others. And now it fills our hearts with joy that we can also share with those who are discouraged. And Father, I'm grateful that this is a kind of joy that's not dependent on our mood. It's not dependent on our circumstances, but it's a sense of love and well-being that comes into our lives because of the ministry of Jesus. And so for all these things and more, we give you thanks. We also honor you this morning as the Lord of the universe, as the creator of it all. Lord, everything is so huge when we think about the size of our solar system and our galaxy and our galaxy among galaxies and the whole universe and maybe whatever exists beyond. It's bigger than us. But Lord, we know that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word is underneath all the other words. And Lord, you comprehend your creation and you give to us the mind of Christ. And so we know what we must know in order to live and to thrive and to be with you. But Lord, I pray that you will bless us, bless this planet that you have created and all the people on it who are vulnerable to this virus. We are grateful that with quick speed, this has arrived, this vaccine that may help, and others that are on the way. I pray that you'll bless these efforts, Lord, and help everyone everywhere to continue to be wise to get through these next few months together so we can look back and see how you took care of us. And Father, bless those who are suffering and hurting right now. Comfort them, many of them having to suffer alone. We pray for your presence to be strong. And for those who are caring for them, Lord, that you'll give them emotional strength and energy to try to be there for those who are struggling. As they see this every day, it wears on them, Lord. So strengthen and renew them in spirit, we pray today. And we just ask that you'll protect those workers as well. And Father, be with our leaders. Give them wisdom. During this time of transition in our country, help it to go smoothly. Help every leader to decide to do what is best for all. And help all of us as followers to do what's right. And may we follow Jesus and his way of being above all. May we be people of hope and peace and joy in this season. And Father, I pray for those in our congregation with physical needs, some with procedures in the near future, some who are recovering, some who just need your touch every day. And we pray specifically for Helen this morning as well. I also pray for my father-in-law, Don Lehman, and we just ask that you will bless and work in his life and his battle with cancer. Just comfort him and be near to him. And I pray for my wife this morning, and I just ask that you'll encourage and bless her as she has this burden for her dad. And just minister to her and all the teachers who are teaching during this difficult time. Just keep them well and safe and bless the kids and help them to learn. Again, Lord, guiding us through these uncertain days. And Father, this morning, we just want to be your people. We want to be faithful to you. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit and doing the things, Lord, that you would do. And so inhabit our praises this morning. Bless us and move us forward in you. And I pray that we will be people who leave a legacy of faith for those who come behind us. We are grateful for all that you do. We know you are already at work in every situation we have named. And we give you thanks and praise in that powerful name above all other names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Okay, at this time, we'll turn our attention to God's Word. And I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and then 8 through 11. And so let's stand in honor of God's Word today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, sometimes the word joy is used in our season as kind of a holly jolly Christmas kind of joy. And hey, I guess there's nothing wrong with that, right? That enduring song. But it maybe doesn't probe the depths of what biblical joy is. But we hear those upbeat songs in every store, lights and tinsel, and every surface seeming to glimmer and shine this time of year. But these things can distract us sometimes from the harsh realities, and we wouldn't want these things to become an escapism from how things are going. So many of us are sometimes not feeling very holly jolly this time of year, and we need to address that. Some of us may be struggling with grief this time of year because we've lost loved ones during this season. We're very aware of their absence during this time. For some of us, people just aren't extroverts and don't enjoy being out in crowds, and so they don't look forward to this season. But in the midst of it all, the Bible offers us a message of joy. And that's something that can penetrate our circumstances and even goes much deeper than these surface symbols of joy that are around us. So when we come to a text like this, we realize that God has ministered to God's people even during their darkest times, their times of facing circumstances that seemed utterly overwhelming, and he still brought joy into their lives. This, again, is probably addressing the situation where the people of God came back to their homeland after being in captivity. And when they saw the state of things, they were just blown away. The city blocks, or at least carved out villages where they used to live, were now overgrown, buildings devastated and gone, long abandoned. But of course, we wouldn't have to drive very far into cities very near our own where we could see that kind of devastation of homes that have been long abandoned, overgrown yards, dreams that have died, and people living literally in despair on a daily basis. This morning, the Lord wants to bring words of joy into our lives. And we sang this morning that it is unspeakable joy. Sometimes that's because the joy is just so overwhelming, we can't hardly put it into words. And as we were singing that song today, I got so overwhelmed, I almost couldn't sing along. Just thinking about the good things that God has done. Sometimes the joy is unspeakable because our feelings are just worn out. Our human emotions are lagging behind what we know to be true. And so even in those times, though, we can hold this joy close to our hearts and be renewed by it. Well, in the biblical time period, and when you read through the Old Testament, you'll see that there were four primary economic codes for the children of God in Israel. The first thing that is often there is tithing, and that's giving 10% of what is made or raised or grown, bringing that into storehouses for the care of the priests and the poor. The second economic principle that we see powerfully active in the Old Testament is Sabbath. Every seventh day is a day of rest and worship, and every seventh year is one of rest for the land and for animals. So there's a principle of Sabbath that is operating in the Old Testament. Sabbath is living out of rest. On the seventh day, the Lord rested from all his labors. And so we are called into that rest. That's one of those things that is slipping away during our time because stores are just open 24/7. And there's a constant demand for people to work. And so young people and people with families are especially pulled into this world of constant work and constantly changing shifts. And it's just overwhelming to try to live. But the Bible presents a vision for us of seeking to build our society where we can live and work out of rest. A third principle is gleaning. And that's where the edges of fields were to be left unharvested. Not trying to get every single last drop of things that were in the fields, but instead they were left unharvested in order that the poor or the refugee or travelers who were coming through could stop and find food in your fields. And of course, no one was to take advantage of this and go just to take everything that you left behind for themselves. It was understood that just what you need for the moment and move on. And there's another concept that's laid out in the Old Testament called the year of Jubilee. So after seven cycles of Sabbath years, a Sabbath year is a seventh year. So after seven cycles of 7 years, or in other words, after 49 years, there was 1 year. That special 50th year was to be set aside as the year of Jubilee. The purpose of this year was to reset the entire economic system. Debts were to be forgiven. Land was to be returned to the families who had owned it before. Prisoners were to be set free. The Bible records evidence that the children of God followed the first three economic laws pretty closely, but there isn't much recorded proof that they observed the year of Jubilee. But Isaiah 61 is about the year of Jubilee, which is also called the year of the Lord's favor. So imagine what good news it would be to experience a year of Jubilee. Your debts forgiven. Can I hear an amen out there? It would mean no longer feeling that knot in your stomach when the person you owe comes around. It would mean the ability to invest in new ideas and follow passions. Your family's land would be returned to you, and land ownership would mean some security. It would mean a place to grow food and raise animals. These were two very important things. They were the key to survival. And then even imagine being released from prison. Back then, one of the most common reasons to imprison someone was because they couldn't pay their debts. So release from prison in that context goes along with these economic principles. So it meant debt forgiveness and release from captivity for some. And this offered an opportunity to start again. So a year of Jubilee was a year of grace and hope and tremendous joy for everyone. So let's understand that this is something only happening once every 50 years. That's how it was prescribed. But in the midst of times of loss and seasons of grief, to have a sense that this year of Jubilee was coming would give someone hope. And maybe there's a way that we can shift our understanding of things. And I hinted at this last week, but what the people look upon as despair, God wants to use for a new beginning for them. So as they are looking at this devastation when they return to their land, God wants to renew a sense of joy within them. So they're looking at the hopelessness of the lost city, of trampled gardens, of burned out homes, but God wants to go to work in those circumstances to bring renewal and to bring joy. The ashes of this place are going to be fertile ground in which new life is born, and a crown will replace the ashes on their heads. And so it's a place to start over. Everyone was pretty much in the same boat because everyone pretty much had nothing and had to start from scratch. But in that way, it was a level playing field for everyone, giving them the opportunity to become the people that God had called them to be. They will be called oaks of righteousness, it said. And that means they're going to become a righteous or justice-loving people. The sin and mistakes of their past can be left behind in the rubble, and they can start a new life. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities, it said, that have been devastated for generations. And so, in this passage, the children of God are called to participate in the joyful renewal that God is enacting in the world. And that is a whole different way to look at times of loss and grief. They are a time to begin again and to rebuild. Even though it's ultimately God who's bringing about the healing and hope and joy, it's clear that the people are invited to participate in this work. Verse 3 talks about their righteousness, and that implies that they're going to participate in right actions. They're going to be living out God's righteousness, living out God's justice in the world. And then verse 4 says, they will rebuild, they will renew. So the people are actively joining in God's restoration work. So this is the kind of work that God does all the time and has been doing for ages in our world. And it's work that he invites us to join him in. Verse 8 reminds us how God hates injustice. The implication is that the people of God will act in just ways and not take advantage. Verse 8 also talks about how God hates wrongdoing and that God rewards righteousness and justice. And so when we're trying to respond to injustice in the world, we need to remember that we can't go off the rails in trying to set things right, that we need to be people of peace and people of love. We can call and challenge our leaders to do what is right. We can call and challenge our own families to do what is right. We can call and challenge our neighbor to do what's right. But we ourselves must try to stay on those rails as well, or those calls to make things right end up ringing hollow, and there's not a deep sense of justice to them. So, verse 8 talks about how we also should hate. It talks about God hating these things, so we also should hate these things. So one of the ways that we see justice and righteousness being enacted in the world is in the way that God is bringing about the year of Jubilee. It's going to include a few things. On this list are good news for the poor, binding up of the brokenhearted, freedom from captivity, release from darkness, and comfort for those who mourn. Now, all of these things are addressing those darker places of life. But that's always been what I have marveled most about God. Some people get hung up on how bad things happen to good people in the world. But in my short few decades on the planet, what I have always marveled at is how God goes to work in those dark hours of our lives, how God brings healing, how God brings out the best in people as they respond to adversity. And I've just seen again and again as families have been restored by the grace and love of God. I've seen lives utterly devastated, people right on the edge of suicide, suddenly finding hope in Jesus and beginning to change their lives and committing their lives to ministering to others who had fallen prey to the same things they had. And as we've seen natural disasters and the results of war, we've seen people come back even on the national and world scene. And I believe that is the love and power of God being unleashed in these dark hours, bringing joy out of sadness, bringing a crown out of ashes. So these are all active ways that God's going to usher in Jubilee in our lives, but the people of God are called to participate. And of course, we know that these words were the words that Jesus used to announce his ministry as they're quoted in the gospel. Jesus said that he had come to inaugurate this year of Jubilee, that he had come to inaugurate his kingdom, that he had come with good news for the poor and to set captives free. And so the kind of joy we're talking about here is not about circumstances, but this kind of joy is based on an understanding of what God is going to do regardless of our circumstances. Amen? That God is going to work, and that the fruit of God and the people of God working together in the world is joy, deep and lasting, unspeakable joy. Well, we don't know for sure if Israel ever carried out the year of Jubilee, but we know it became a powerful symbol for them as they returned to the land, as they believed that God was going to help them be restored. And God absolutely remained faithful to them and always acted in good ways, whether they obeyed him or not. God worked it out to bring in the year of Jubilee. So this morning, let's fast forward to the time when Jesus came. Jesus taught us a new way of living. In many ways, he was embodying these principles every day as he encountered those who were sick, as he encountered those who were hurting, as he encountered those who had been rejected by everyone else, people who seemed hopeless and lost. He invited them into a whole new way of life. He offered them forgiveness. He said things like, go and sin no more, amen? And he gave hope that we could live into a new kind of life. And I think you could sort of attach this label that it's a Jubilee kind of life where our sins are forgiven, they are washed away, and we are empowered not to just go back to doing the same things, but to move forward in hope and to live a life of joy. So, in our day, what can we do to see to it that Jubilee continues to extend the way that that means fulfillment of how God's will should be done on earth as it is in heaven? What can we do to see a family freed from cycles of abuse? Wouldn't that bring about joy? When we see hungry people, what could we do to help feed them and to see their sadness turn to joy? When we see those who are mourning, could we have compassion and be with them in spirit? Let them know they are not alone in their grief. Could we stay by their side, loving them until joy is restored again in their lives? Because you see, we are called to be joy bringers in the world. So let's just say that together. We are called to be joy bringers in the world. Those who announce the good news, joy to the world, as we did in song just a bit ago. But is that a whole way of living? Is that a way we can look at circumstances? Is that a way we can lean into a new reality? Joining the mission of God in the world shares hope and joy with a world that's often hopeless and filled with despair. Situations that seem hopeless, they don't have to be hopeless for the people of God. We know the secret. We know that God turns despair into joy because he's done it for us already. And we have the record of how God has done it throughout history. In the midst of our despair, in the midst of our sense of loss and hopelessness, God is at work. I hope you believe that this morning, and I hope that's a foundation for your life. In the midst of our pain, God is at work. In the midst of our sin, as we are confessing it and turning to Him, we are not abandoned. God is reaching out to us in love, despite what we've done, inviting us to repentance and renewal and to this new way of life. And in a world that seeks to cover up pain with tinsel and lights, God seeks to transform pain into glory. God seeks to have life grow from ashes. So we trust that during this Advent season, Christ came to bring about the kingdom of God in our world, and we have hope that Christ is going to come again to make all things new. We know the year of the Lord came with Jesus, and it's coming in full fulfillment when He returns. And we can have joy in that this morning. We can look for the places God is already at work. Remember the wonderful things He's done for us already, turning ashes into beauty. So, this morning, while we're waiting for Jesus to come, can we be living in ways that signify how it will be when He gets here? Amen? Can we live as people who are ready to move into the fullness of what Jesus has? Sometimes that's going to involve familiar things like prayer, reading the Bible, worshiping together. These are important. But sometimes God is going to call us to do things we may not think of as part of the church people life. But sometimes we do need to stand up for injustice. Sometimes we do need to stand up for those who are experiencing loss. And of course, we need to stand up for the unborn. We need to stand up for life. But life with compassion and love and justice as well. For every child that's brought into this world will face many challenges. And how will we come alongside those who are wanting to support and help give life to these children? But it's good news to know that all of this is possible. Amen? It's good news to know that no matter what people are facing, we serve a God who has everything they need, and that we're privileged, really, to be involved in helping that to come to pass. It should bring unspeakable joy to our hearts this morning, and it's good news for the world, for anyone who's watching and hearing this morning. There is hope in the midst of your loss, and Jesus can bring new life for you. So may we go out into the world as bearers of joy. And may we go out into our neighborhood, and as we communicate with our family, maybe through technology sometimes during this time, may we still bring hope and good news to them. May we be rebuilders who care for our world and make it better. And may we share in the good news of great joy that's for all the people. It's been for all the people since the night Jesus was born. Amen? And it will be true today, and it will be true tomorrow. And even in dark days to come, there is the light that has come into the world, and it has overcome the darkness. May it overcome the darkness in your life today, and may light from you light the path for others as a bringer of joy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're going through stuff right now, and you know that oh so well. And we're not the first humans to long for healing and deliverance. And some of the people who are experiencing the greatest loss this morning, they're not the first ones. And so you know how to help this morning. But Father, it all just got very real for us in the last few months. Some of us may have thought we wouldn't have been touched by some of these things, and yet we have been. And so, Lord, I pray we have learned and taken this wisdom to heart. It's been there on the pages of your word for our whole lifetimes. Now may we discover it and experience it in fresh and deeper ways. And may we be changed by this season into people who trust in you more and who lean on circumstances less and who want to care and to help those around us. And I pray this morning for the one who's listening or watching or here present this morning, who is right on that edge of despair and discouragement and loss. And I pray, Lord, that you will come to them in this moment and that you'll rush in to their despair with a sense of peace to say, I am with you in this storm. I am with you holding you together in this loss. I am your future, even if you can't imagine it in this moment. Lord, restore them to joy. And if it can't all happen in a single moment right now, then begin with the steps that will do it. And prod us as your people to do just the right things at just the right time to be your helping hand in restoring them to life. And Father, we know that through it all, you will continue to be faithful to us. And so, Lord, we want to say back to you this morning, help us to be faithful to you, faithful bringers of joy to the world. May we receive our King in fresh ways. And then, Lord, let earth receive her King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. God loves you. And God is giving you the strength that you need this hour. Let's stand together. And let's say the Apostles' Creed before we go, confessing our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Pray that God will fill you with joy, and that the joy of the Lord will be your strength in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.